I'll wait for her.
Oh, let's go ahead and start.
Say that again.
Okay, Jeff, you're on, and Ray is not here yet.
Well, let's go ahead and get started. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. It's October 9th, 2012. I'm your host, Jeff Sikarik of thesuperfitvegan.com, and Ray of Ray Whitney of Raw Girlfriend. Okay. One moment. We've got an echo here.
Okay, that was me trying to...
There we go.
Give her, I guess.
Sorry about that.
Okay, sorry.
Sorry about that. That was on my end.
Yeah, that was mine. Okay.
So we're on...
Well, good morning.
I've got you, Ruthann, and we are waiting on Ray, correct?
Well, yes, we're starting, but yes, Ray's not with us yet. So.
Okay, I'm Jeff of the Superfit Vegan, and Ray of Raw Girlfriend should be along here any minute. And this is the show where we talk all things related to the vegan lifestyle and developing a super high level of physical fitness. And last week, Ray and I talked about some of the top myths related to the vegan diet. We talked about protein, and of course, as an issue. We talked about calcium, teeth, all of that. So if you missed that show, you can listen to that one on archive, right, Ruthann? Is that
right,
correct?
Definitely. Yeah, it went up right after the show was over. So, it's there.
And that one actually is worth listening to, I'd say. Mm-hmm. We put in a lot of good info on that one, where we focused on myths surrounding the raw vegan diet. And we had just started at the end of the hour to get into kind of the workout and the benefits of doing fast in-home workouts without any equipment at all, just you, your body, and really just a handful of
and
guts.
Ray is here to help now. She's joining us. Hi, Ray.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Ray. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Good. So, Ray, I was just saying we're going to kind of pick up where we left off last week, where we were talking about the major myths surrounding the vegan diet, which, of course, we have the good old standbys that the flesh eaters of the world like to fall back on, protein, calcium. We shed a little bit of light on the fact now it's not even a matter of speculation. We shed a little bit of light on the fact that protein, your body, you only need about 10% of your calories to come from protein. And most fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds have plenty of protein. So we talked about that. We talked about, we got heavily into the calcium issue. And for all the talk about calcium and milk and strong bones, it turns out that milk has a lot of negative effects. It turns into a semi-solid in your digestive tract and actually leaches calcium from your bones. And what are the highest calcium foods on earth? Well, it turns out that they're plant foods. Green leaves and specifically sesame seeds are just happen to be the highest calcium-containing food on earth. So the point of all that we went through last week is that if you are eating enough calories of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds on a raw vegan diet, you will not come down with either a protein or a calcium deficiency. I've been doing this for a long time, and so has Ray. If you go to our websites, look at our pictures. Believe me, if there was any kind of problem, any kind of protein issue, I would have lost my muscle and went downhill a long time ago on this diet. And I haven't eaten an animal product in 20 years. How long has it been for you, Ray?
Oh, it's probably been about, I'd say 5 or 6 years for me. I've been raw for 3.5 years, but I was vegetarian, you know, up until then. So I don't even remember. I don't even know how to answer that. I don't remember. It's been that long.
Well, it's been long enough, though, and it's been long enough, though, where with all of the, for example, the hikes we did that one summer in Portland, the Death Valley hikes and all that stuff, your bike riding, if there was any serious issues with protein deficiency or calcium deficiency, I believe we would have seen evidence of it by now.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And I don't think that we'd be seeing people like Michael Arnstein, winning 100-mile races, finishing in the top 10 in most of his races, eating nothing but raw fruits and vegetables. You would not see cases like that if there was any kind of an issue with the raw vegan diet. So if you'd like to get more information on that, listen to our show. It's archived from last week. And tonight we're going to talk about the massive benefits of doing fast in-home workouts without any equipment, just you, your body, and a handful of guts. It works. It works very well. You can check out the pictures on my site, thesuperfitvegan.com. And I don't lift weights. I have not lifted any kind of weights in years, and I've built up more strength, more stamina, and probably more mental toughness just in the last few years than I did in all my years spent in the gym before that. I also should mention here, we're going to take callers. If you're out there and if you've got a comment, a story, or a personal situation you'd like addressed regarding vegan fitness, give us a call. The number is 718-664-6436. So, Ray, I'm going to turn it over to you here for a bit. What have you been doing the last week besides body weight workouts?
Well, I like the body weight workouts, obviously, for all of their benefits, but I always like to sort of cross-train, that's what we're going to call it. So try to push myself in different ways using the body weight exercise as sort of a base. Because it's such good strengthening, and it's fast, it's convenient, and it's a good stretch. Get all the muscles moving. So what I try to do is I adjunct to that. I have a dog. I have a dog. So I've been taking her on walks. We walk all over the place, or parks, we run, or whatever, we do little sprints with her. But I also live near a hilly area, so I like to walk to the highest point that I can get to. And for the view, of course, is the reward. And then come back down. So I do a lot of hill walks, and then I also cycle. So I have a road bike, roadie, and I ride as far as I can whenever I get on this bike. So I'm able to go further and further each time. I'm not winded, so I feel like my stamina is improving. Actually, I know it is. And I just have super clean water in my bottles. I don't have energy drinks or anything like that. And then I always carry a banana with me, but that's the lactic acid buildup that happens when you exercise. So that's sort of my insurance policy is a banana. But I go 30 or 40 miles four times a week, just doing that, adding that my exercise regimen. So any of the myths that come up about, you need all these additives, to have great workouts and, be feeling strong, they're just not true. I try to push myself every time I go out and ride. I do a different ride or a hilly ride or add hills to it. I'm fortunate enough to live near the coast, so it lends itself to cycling. So, and now the weather's changing. You know, we're getting into fall, so the winds are picking up, and so there's different challenges out there. It's more than just riding your bike down the street. You know, there's a lot more to it. So, I've really enjoyed that, and I try to incorporate sprints in the in my rides as well. So I can always do something different, but I always tell people just get moving. There was an article in I live in the Los Angeles area, so in the LA Times Sunday, there's a big article about you know, going gluten-free, and one of the paragraphs was get moving. It's very true. You have to exercise every day. So, well, however you do that, just make sure that you're incorporating that into your lifestyle on top of your diet. So that's what I would say about workouts. So on my end,
how would you?
You run a lot. Your adjunct exercise is running, right? In your sandals, right? Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ray, how would you compare your workouts now in terms of just results to, if you remember back when you lifted weights and you used to go to the gym and you went through that whole period of time where you trained pretty heavily in the gym,
yeah.
How do you compare your workouts now with that?
Oh, I get 10 times the benefit in 1/10 of the time. So
is that possible?
You know, I don't know. All I know is it works. Okay. I like the fact that I don't have to go to the gym. I mean, aren't we busy enough already without having to go to a place? Okay. So, and not have to worry about, you know, all the accoutrement that comes with that. I think I enjoyed weightlifting when I did it, and I was certainly, you know, in good shape from that aspect. I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying you don't need all that. So doing that, I just, I don't know, there's something unique about relying on your own body weight to get you toned and lean and strong, and just know that that's all you need. Your gym is within you, and the world is your playground. So you don't really, you can find all sorts of challenges out there with just you and your efforts, you know, walking around, running. There's hundreds of different sports that you can get involved with that will use different muscle groups. So I think I've said this before, to just find something that you enjoy and do that. But it's just been a huge benefit, you know, in just a fraction of the time to get the results of just lean and strong. And you just got to know it's a push every day. It doesn't get easier because you do it every day. It's just your body sort of resets every day. That's the fun part of it, is to continue with it and be consistent with it, and that's when the results kick in. So it's just been fun. It's just been it's so easy. It's just like the vegan diet. It's just so easy. And the simplicity to it is what is attractive to me, and just having great results. I feel strong. I you know, the proof is in my bike rides. So I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on the idea that it's easy in terms of getting started with it. In other words, the workouts that we do, which are made, for the most part, body weight workouts, it doesn't take any space to speak of. It doesn't take any equipment. It takes very little time. So that aspect of it is very easy. You don't have to spend any time getting to a workout place unless you want to, all of that makes it easy. And but there's a flip side to that. And the flip side of that is what you just intimated at, Ray, and that is that the workout, as I lay it out, as a matter of fact, you can, if you're listening out there, you can go to my YouTube channel, which I have the link of it on the top of my site, thesuperfitvegan.com. You go to the top of the site, there's my YouTube channel, and I've got a bunch of free workout videos on there. Some of them are just 4 or 5 minutes long, but they'll get your attention really quickly. So when we say it's easy, yeah, this style of workout is easy in the sense that it doesn't take up a lot of your time. It doesn't take any money. It's not reserved for a handful of people that are already in great shape. You can start from wherever you are, whatever level of fitness that you're at, and grow with it. You can, the workout that I do every day, which is basically for a half an hour to an hour, cycling through sets of basic body weight exercises like squats, push-ups, pull-ups, crunches, you can modify that and do it at your own pace and grow with it really no matter what level of fitness that you're at. So when we say it's easy to get started. However, what you intimated there, Ray, it never gets easy in terms of the workout itself if you want to push yourself to grow to the next level. So as long as we're talking about that, let me read you, because I asked you, Ray, why does it get such great results versus going to the gym? And I wrote a little piece here about a Japanese scientist that he wanted to answer that question. So I'll go ahead and read this to you, and then I'll get your take on it. I wrote this piece earlier this year. It's called Burn Body Fat, Build Lean Muscle, and Explode Overall Fitness with 4-Minute Weird Japanese Workout That Works Like Magic. And here it is. How about a 4 to 5 minute workout that burns body fat, builds lean muscle, and explodes endurance? You might not think such a thing is possible, particularly if you've been indoctrinated by fitness magazines, infomercials, and even some of the more dogmatic personal trainers at your local gym. It seems about 90% or more of these folks have become so fixed in their approach to fitness that they may well have overlooked a valuable technique or two that could boost not only their own performance, but that of their clients as well. Techniques like, as you just talked about, Ray, hill sprinting or walking outdoors, a great way to build awesome leg strength, lung power, and mental toughness, or body weight fitness, which is, in my way of thinking, the greatest method known to man for building strength and endurance in a single workout. The guy's name was Tabata, that was his last name. It's called the Tabata Protocol, and it's basically a high-intensity training method that takes just 4 or 5 minutes, yet burns fat like crazy, builds lean muscle if done in a certain way, and develops one heck of a lot of mental toughness. Of course, with those kind of promises, it brings up the question, why do most gym trainers disregard methods like that? Well, they require no equipment, no weights, no gadgets, no tricks, and really no expertise at all to speak of. They ask for nothing but the committed athlete, just a sliver of time, and a handful of guts to produce good results. So why don't they promote it? Well, they're not money makers for the fitness industry. So this guy, Tabata, his name is Izumi Tabata, he was a Japanese speed skating coach, formerly the National Institute of Fitness and Sports in Japan, and he did this. He took one group of athletes using a high-intensity protocol that he developed. Those people, those athletes, trained 4 times per week for just 4 minutes per session, and they added 1 day a week of just your average moderate intensity exercise at about 70% of their maximum ability. Then he took another group of his speed skaters, and he had them train 5 days a week just using their regular moderate level of exertion. Now, what happened? Well, the two groups had similar results in aerobic capacity, endurance related. Yet the Tabata group, who did push themselves like crazy for just 4 minutes in workouts, they gained in anaerobic capacity as well. So the moderate and the moderate group did not. That means the Tabata group improved not only their ability to train aerobically for longer periods of time, but also their sprint capacity or ability to engage in short bursts of activity. Now, why is that important? Well, you think about it in everyday life. Right? Like life is built up of a series of rest periods and then vigorous activity, even if you're just generally working around the house, carrying groceries, climbing stairs, that type of thing. And, of course, in sports like basketball, soccer, football, you watch those sports, and generally what you have is moderate activity with intermittent bursts of power or athleticism. Another benefit, the high-intensity training method, Tabata found, has been shown to burn body fat even more efficiently than regular cardiovascular exercise. And it has something to do with the way glycogen is burned during the high-intensity workout. So how would you do that? Well, I've got a few favorite ways of doing it. I mean, one is you can go out for a bike ride. You can go out for a run, whatever, or a fast walk even, whatever that you enjoy doing most, and then just stop in the middle of that workout and think in your head that for 4 minutes you are going to push yourself to the absolute limits of your ability. The easiest way, the best way to do that, in my opinion, is with squats, push-ups, and crunches, because you're going to be building muscle and releasing natural human growth hormone with those types of exercises, along with burning fat. So, for example, you go out for your bike ride, you go out for your run at a, let's say, just a moderate pace, you stop right in the middle of your workout, then you drop down and you do, for 30 seconds, as many hard, fast push-ups as you can do. You jump up. You do as many squats, jumping up and down, as fast as you can do until you're out of breath. Then you get on your back, you do as many crunches as you can, and you cycle through as fast as you can and as hard as you can. You repeat that little cycle for 4 minutes, and then you get back into your regular, about 70% of your maximum capability. So I think that's the best way to do it. Another great way to do it would be to, and we did this in Chiang Mai, Ray, what you do is you find a building with 10 or more stories on it and a steep set of stairs, or you find a steep hill. You run up the hill or stairs with all your might, you go at 100% of your capacity. And then you jog in place for 10 seconds, you drop, you do as many push-ups as you can or squats. Then you go back down the stairs to catch your breath a little bit. Then you repeat the same thing, run to the top of the stairs and do as many squats or push-ups as you can. You can alternate those two. And then you do that for 4 or 5 times. I think you get the idea. The point is that you are essentially blasting through barriers in terms of strength and cardiovascular capacity that you're not blasting through if you just jog along or bike along at a moderate pace. So yes, this stuff is easy to get started with, and yes, you can make it as hard or easy as you want, but the real benefits come when you push yourself Tabata style as hard as you can 4 to 5 times per week like this during your workouts. You know, you don't need to get crazy and try to do, push yourself to the 100% mark with every single workout that you do. However, I think it's with the results I've gotten and with these studies like this, there's more and more of them that are coming out. I think it's wise to push yourself like this 4 to 5 times per week to burst through to the next level. You want to kind of blast those capillaries. If you can look at your body as nothing more than an elaborate series of pipes and canals, you want to blast through those things, not just keep them moderately conditioned. So, what? This technique is brutally tough. And believe me, it's a heck of a lot tougher. I've had big, huge weightlifters that couldn't do this for 10 minutes. I mean, you know, big, huge guys up in Alaska when I worked up there that couldn't do this for 10 minutes. So that's kind of what it looks like. And the world at large needs to get that information, because I think that there's still, even with the success of programs like P90X and there's the other one called Insanity, which I think is pretty good, even with programs like that out there, there's still the general feeling, don't you think, Ray, that splitting cardio and weightlifting is kind of the hallmarks of fitness. Go lift weights for strength, go out for a run for cardiovascular. I don't have anything against running. I do quite a bit of it myself, but not to the exclusion of what we're talking about here tonight. It's, as you said, I use this as the foundation of my fitness, and I think that there's nothing better than to see where you're at physically than to see if you can get through 500 squats, push-ups, and crunches in a half an hour, which is, I do that, a minimum of that every morning. You start getting good at doing that, taking those in increments of 50, like 50 squats, then to get on your back and do 50 crunches, then do 50 push-ups, and keep cycling through that for a half an hour. When you get to a point where you can do 500 of each of those basic exercises in a half an hour and 1,000 of them in an hour, then you're at a, what I consider to be a really, really high level of fitness that's unmatched by most people you meet anywhere on earth. Wouldn't you agree, Ray?
Yes, I would. And it just reminds me, I think a lot of people, you know, look outside themselves for answers. And exercise is on the list. You know, they feel like they have to go to the gym or join a club or, you know, sign up for a league or something like that. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with those, but if you start within, everything you have, everything you need, rather, you have right now in yourself. In the privacy of your home or your room, the space on your floor is all you need to get in shape. And I think most people miss that. They think they need more, or they need to go somewhere to get exercise or get in shape, or, you know, join a group that exercises, you know, in a certain location or... None of, you don't. It's just as simple as getting down on the floor in your room and doing these body weight exercises. And it's just programming yourself again to, you know, less is more, and the simplicity of it really boggles the mind. And until you do it and see the results, it's hard. It's really hard to... get it, you know, sort of in your routine, that all you need to do is spend, you know, 15 minutes minimum. You can do far more like you do. I do 15, 20 minutes minimum, and then I get pulled away into my day. So it's just the simplicity of it is just really, really great. So if I could implore anyone listening or would-be listeners, you know, later, or just to give it a try. And, you just be amazed at the results. It just, it's amazing. It's such a great adjunct to the the raw food diet, but it's just the simplicity of it is just really great to be able to, you have your gym sort of within you, and your body will reward you for it. You just have to do it. So I would just throw that out there. You don't have to look outside yourself for the answers. They're all within you right now. And like you said, you can start wherever you are. You can start doing this and have your own little, run through, or you say you cycle through your numbers, and then just keep adding to those. And you'll see the toning, and the pounds will melt away, and you'll tone up, and you'll look great and feel great. So I just encourage everyone to at least try it. 30 days minimum for results. It usually takes 6 to 8 weeks for results. So, but, you know, the results vary, but I saw them right away when I was doing them. When I started doing body weight exercises, I saw results within weeks. I mean, it was just amazing. So it doesn't take much to have a lot of results to follow.
I think that's well said. It really does tie in with what we talked about last week on the show, which was the fact that, you know, I get so many emails from people every day saying things like, well, you know, I'm in this situation or I'm in that health situation. What should I take for this? What supplement or what herb should I take for this? And I keep coming back almost every time back to the answer of what you just intimated at, which is that it's not about what you're going to take. It's not about adding anything in. It's about getting rid of all the garbage, the toxins, and the unnecessary things that you don't need. Once you start doing that, your health, the innate intelligence of your body starts to go to work on repairing your health from the inside out. So that's what we talked about last week, and it kind of does tie and lead right into what we're talking about tonight. And that is, when you start talking about the great results that you can get with body weight workouts, most people I've found that have been going to the gym for years and splitting their weight and cardiovascular sessions, that doesn't really register in their mind that something this simple could be this valuable. Because it seems that unless there's a product attached to it, unless there's a new shoe attached to it or a new fitness gadget attached to it, it's almost the American culture is such a buying culture, has become so indoctrinated with getting more things that it almost seems that if there's no product involved, that outside of maybe a book or two, that, boy, it can't be legitimate. But I've found what you have, Ray, and that is that that's the furthest thing from the truth. And it mirrors what we've found with regard to the vegan diet. Less is more. The less food combining you do, the better. Fasting is a great way to go to just cleanse every cell in your body from the inside out. And so that's carried over into my workouts with body weight exercise. It's really encapsulates really kind of the spiritual reason that I look at it, why I'm here, which is to hopefully communicate to my fellow man that getting rid of things in general, unnecessary foods, unnecessary toxins, all kinds of things that we're taught from an early age to buy that we just do not need, that leads right into the workout. Just the fact that you do not need any equipment, no gym, you don't need to buy anything. You can save tons of time by not having to split your workouts into cardio and weight sessions. All of that ties in with the spiritual reasons that I know that both you and I do what we do, and that is basically teaching people to the best of our ability and leading by example that you don't need anything outside of yourself to get as healthy and fit as you can possibly be from the inside out.
That's right.
That's another thing. That just the freedom to focus when you're doing a body weight workout, the freedom to focus on nothing but basic exercise form and then the intensity of what you're doing during your workout. Whereas it seems that in weightlifting, you go into the gym, there's always a new technique. Static contraction, I did that for a while. There's always some new angle or some new technique that you find in the gym. And at least when I did that, that tended to weigh on me psychologically. Whereas when you drop down to do a body weight workout, the moves are so simple and they hit every major muscle group, every tendon, every ligament in your entire body that it really forces you to see what you've got to give. There, you cannot get into a real comfortable position. There's really no way out of it when you start doing a squat or a push-up. Whereas if you're just kind of meandering around the gym, you know, all you have to do is go into a gym and you'll see the people, their technique, and just watch them if you go to the gym. They'll just kind of wander in a very relaxed manner from one machine to the next, get into a very comfortable position, and exercise one body part at a time. So that takes them a long time. Versus body weight exercise, if you just take two exercises like the squat and the push-up and just alternate between those. Do as many squats as you can, then as many push-ups as you can, and keep repeating that for 15 minutes. You're going to find out real quick that there's nothing relaxing about it. As a matter of fact, it can be downright torturous, but that's where your great results come from. And I think that's a lot of the reason why people, they just don't want to do it. It's not... Yes, part of it is the fact that they've been indoctrinated to think that if there's no product involved, that it can't be real. But a lot of it, I'm pretty convinced after watching some people try it and then not want to continue, is that it's just, it can be viciously tough. Unfortunately, if you don't push yourself in a viciously tough way with body weight exercise, I don't believe you're ever going to get the best out of yourself.
Right, and, you know, I just want to comment that, you know, if you haven't exercised in a while, that's the great thing about body weight exercises, you know, you can do this in the privacy of your home. Because a lot of people are self-conscious about going to the gym or going outside or going for a walk or whatever. They don't have the right gear, they don't, you know, have the right outfit, or they don't, whatever. They have to wait till it's, a decent temperature outside or whatever. The great thing about being able to do it in the privacy of your home is, you don't have to worry about any of that, and you can go at your own pace. And if you can only do, 10 squats or, 10 push-ups, 10 sit-ups, 5, you might only be at the 5 mark. It doesn't matter. It's all good. You work up to, set a goal of 25 if you can only do 5. If you can do 25, set a goal 50. You know, you always want to be pushing yourself anyway. But with the body weight exercise, it's really important that you at least do something. And there's only, about 4 or 5 basic exercise moves, if you want to call them that, that you can cycle through, and your body will respond. And you might not see it right away. It just depends how much weight you want to lose. But I was pretty much slender. I've been slender my whole life. But, I did gain a fair amount of weight for me. So when I started doing the body weight, it was just amazing. It just all melted off because You know, your cells have memory. And when I was working out in the gym and I was, like, super, you know, fit because I was there 2 hours a day. Can you imagine 2 hours a day at the gym to look great versus 15 minutes in the comfort of your home to look great? I mean, I don't need anyone to tell me that's a good use of my time. So it's just remarkable the intensity level of it, you know, at a cellular level. And like you're saying, muscle groups, it hits all the main muscle groups. And I think that's what gets me, you know, outside. I'm an outdoor person anyway, trying different things. You know, I push myself outside on the hills or on my bike or wherever to see how that foundation of the body weight exercises helps me do more outside. And it's just amazing. I can do so much more physically, you know, outside. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a lot of people, I think, a misnomer is the sweat equity. You don't have to be dripping sweat to get a good workout. And the proof is in the body weight exercise. You know, I'm not dripping sweat in the morning when I do it inside. It's a cool morning. It's nice inside. It's temperate. I sweat when I go outside and do all the other stuff that I add to it. So I think there's a sort of a misnomer about the sweat equity. And, you know, the more you sweat, the more, you know, calories you burn. And I don't think there's anything to that. I think if you're sweating, your body's trying to cool down. But that should not be an indicator, you know, of how you're doing. You will see that how you're doing when you do the body weight workout. You will notice, you will tone down, you will get stronger, leaner, just as a byproduct of doing it. So it's just great. Everyone should try it. It is hard, and you just feel good afterwards in such a short period of time. I mean, we're all crunched for time right now, so what a great way to get in shape for just minutes a day. I mean, you say it on your website. It is just minutes a day. I mean, how remarkable is that? It's mind-boggling.
I'd agree with you. I would agree with you. You don't have to be drenched in sweat every single workout. But I'll tell you, at least four or five times a week, you should push yourself Tabata style, as we talked about earlier in the show. Push yourself to the absolute limits of your potential, where you are drenched. I did a workout this morning. I did about an 8 mile run, then about 600 of each, squats, push-ups, and crunches, done in cycles of 50. And yes, it's hot here in the Philippines, it's humid here in the Philippines, but I was totally drenched in sweat. And you know, when you do that, and I was totally exhausted at the end of it, another benefit we didn't talk about is the fact that I know after this show is over, it's 8:45, I'm usually dead asleep by now. So if you push yourself to the limits of your ability and you are drenched in sweat and you know you've gotten the most out of yourself at least a few times a week, that's going to put you at a place that most people are not willing to go to. And that's what's going to push you over to the level of fat loss and lean muscle gain and all of that. Just as a side note, every time you do that, push yourself to the maximum of your ability, your pituitary gland releases natural human growth hormone, which now we know has been linked absolutely scientifically to greater muscle mass, faster fat burning, thicker skin, and even greater sexual performance, all of that stuff. Human growth hormone is essentially the substance of youth. And the one way we know for a fact that can release it is pushing yourself to the absolute maximum of your ability for quick periods of time, like Tabata did with his speed skaters. So that's why I say, yes, do your workouts in a moderate pace as much as you want. Walk, bike, or run everywhere that you go to the best of your ability during a week. But just make sure at least a few times a week that you are pushing yourself to the absolute maximum of your ability. And if you do that, that is what is going to separate you from everybody else around you. It's going to allow, it's going to get, make sure that you get the absolute best out of yourself. If you go to my blog, superiorbodyhealth.com/blog, it's also, you can find the link to it at the top of my site, thesuperfitvegan.com. I've got a whole bunch of good articles on there on how to get started, the best way to get started with these types of workouts that we're talking about right now. And just start scrolling through those on my blog, and you'll see I've got one. I think it's called, if I remember right, the Vicious Stair Climber Workout, if I recall. That sounds about right. Ray, I think I wrote that when we were climbing up and down those stairs in Chiang Mai, that high rise. Yeah, the whole bottom line of it is this. When it's all said and done, yes, there's a whole bunch of scientific evidence that supports what we've talked about tonight. The fact that it doesn't take anything outside of yourself. The fact that you don't need weights, you don't need anything outside of yourself, not even a pair of shoes, which I don't even own now. I just have completely adopted homemade sandals. You don't need any of that stuff, and you can get into the best shape of your life, without a doubt. So that blog that I wrote about the stair climber workout definitely would be a great way to start if you doubt that. You find a set of stairs, a steep set of stairs, run to the top of it, then drop down, do as many push-ups as you can, then relax a little bit, come back down the stairs. At the bottom of the stairs, do a set of squats or push-ups, and then run back up to the top of the stairs as hard as you can, and keep repeating that for 15 minutes. I'm telling you, if you do that, you are going to get a whole bunch of these benefits very quickly. And what? But most people are not willing to do that. Bottom line, most people are, they'd rather go to the gym and leisurely wander from one machine to the next. And you can do that until you're blue in the face, yet that is not going to pull the best out of you in terms of your cardiovascular condition, your muscular condition, all of that. But that's what most people are satisfied with. So if that's your goal and you just want to be moderately fit for the rest of your life, that's the type of workout that may well be good enough. But if you want to get the best out of yourself, then I think workouts like the stair climber one that I just described, those are what's going to pull the best out of you. And they certainly have, from my experience. And we can talk about the scientific backup and all that stuff, the studies like Tabata did. When all that's finished and you've looked at it all, you just have to kind of look at yourself in the mirror in terms of your workouts and think, am I getting the best out of myself with what I'm doing? And I reached that point back when I was a weightlifter and into all that stuff. And I just looked at myself after I found out about body weight exercise, and I thought, I am not getting the best out of myself. And I intuitively knew in my gut that getting rid of stuff usually throughout my life has gotten me better results. So there is a physiological reason why I find this the best method of workout known to man. There are physiological reasons why the military and the best martial artists, the Bruce Lees of the world, have always had the foundation of their workouts as bodyweight exercise. Of course, there's physiological reasons, but there's also, and to me, equally as great, are the spiritual reasons for this. And that's just that cutting everything out of your life that you don't need just makes you feel better. From the inside, it's like having a garage sale that we talked about last week, Ray, you know, going through your cupboards, getting rid of all the clutter, getting rid of all the processed foods. When you start doing that with your workout, if you've got a fitness gadget in your garage, for example, that you haven't used, don't make yourself feel bad about it. Don't beat yourself up about it. What I'd say about that thing is just get rid of it. Throw it out or donate it. Take it down to Goodwill. Get rid of it. Get rid of anything in your life that doesn't have to do with body weight exercise or a set of stairs, and you'll notice something clicks in your mind like a switch. Now there's no way out of it. You wake up in the morning, if you set a goal where you're going to get in a certain amount of squats, push-ups, and crunches, and you want to get that done in 15 minutes, you only have yourself to blame if you don't do it. You can't blame it on any type of machine or anything outside of yourself. So that's the spiritual aspect of it for me personally. I would never go back to weightlifting, both for the physiological reasons, and it just makes me feel a heck of a lot better personally, because it's almost a metaphor for how I live my life with as minimal as possible.
Right, and I just want to say that you've heard me say this before, you know, I believe, this is my belief, is that 80% of how we look is what we eat. So I go on these bike rides, and I go past the boardwalk area for a couple of miles of it, and I see all these people just intensely walking and really pushing themselves, and, you know, they're obviously overweight, and I always wonder, what if you were vegan and doing what you're doing now? I mean, you would look remarkable. I mean, I just can't say it enough. The diet is a huge part of getting results. So, yeah, you can do the body weight exercise, and you can push yourself, and you can do your sprints, and you can do, you know, those intensity periods, and you can up the ante on the number you do and cycle through it and all of that. But if you have a terrible diet, you probably won't see the results that you want to as quickly as you could if you were on a plant-based diet. So I was throw that in there. You know, they go together.
Absolutely.
They go together, and I'm with you. Less is more, simplicity. The reason why you feel good when you get rid of stuff you don't need is because all that stuff holds energy. And so when you get that energy, the dead energy away from you, you feel uplifted. So less is more, simplicity, and the body weight exercise just falls right in with that. It's just remarkable. It's just a great adjunct to the plant-based diet.
I wouldn't say that it's 80-20. I'd say it's about 50-50, but I'll agree with you on this, Ray, and that is, without a doubt, you can do all the exercise, all the squats, push-ups in the world, but if you're trying to operate your body on a fuel that it was not meant to operate on, like meats and processed foods, you'll more than likely end up like Jim Fix did, one of the original running gurus, back in the early 70s, I think, who ran to his heart's content and then thought he could pretty much eat what he wanted to and ended up dead. So you and I don't want that to happen, and that's where I'll agree with you. You can push yourself all you want on the workouts, but without a good, clean, high to 100% raw vegan diet, you're not doing yourself any favors.
That's right. How are we doing on time?
Well, we've got 6 minutes.
Do you have any questions
for us, Ruth Ann?
Well, it was more about the food and then the workout. Yeah, my friend Allison had wondered, she said she's just confused because she has liked to eat fruit and veggies together, and something that you said last week made her think that maybe she should eat them separately. Did you want to address that?
Jeff, you want to take that?
I'll get that real quick.
Okay.
If you look at the healthiest animals in nature, which that are close to man, like chimps, gorillas, almost identical to us in terms of nutrient needs, digestive tract arrangement, their dentition, their affinity for alkaline versus acidic foods, all of that. How do they eat and how do they maintain all that health? Well, generally, they go to one tree and eat of that one tree until they're completely full. They'll go up to a fruit tree and eat all the fruit that they can until they're full, and then they'll wait and do the next thing, do the same thing at the next tree. So my point of saying that is that they don't combine their foods at all. Although chimps have been known to roll sandwiches of made of fruit with green leaves on them, but that's pretty simple. So fruits and vegetables, you don't want to combine those. You don't want to combine fruit with the heavier vegetables. Easily digestible greens like spinach and kale leaves. Generally, the leafy greens are okay, in my opinion, to combine with fruit. And I usually do those in a green smoothie. But if you're going to talk about, let's say, like cruciferous vegetables, like broccoli, cauliflower, those are a little bit heavier, and those are best eaten by themselves or with a salad. The reason for that is that fruit digests in the colon, in the digestive tract. It basically bypasses the stomach. So if you combine your fruit with a whole lot of heavier vegetables or any type of heavier food, that fruit can get stalled and locked up in the stomach, and that leads to problems like gas, indigestion, and the fruit not making it in time to in the time that it normally would to the colon, where it then is digested and releases its vitamins and minerals into your bloodstream. If you eat the fruit by itself, you have no problem with the digestion. In about 20 minutes, the fruit makes its way, bypasses the stomach, and gets to the digestive tract. So in general, how you'd want to construct a good vegan meal is you start out by eating a lot of fruit or a green smoothie. Then you want to wait 20 minutes until it's bypassed the stomach, gotten to the colon where it digests, and then eat something a bit heavier. So that would be kind of a roundabout way, but that's the way that I usually handle it. You don't want to over-combine fruits with vegetables. Eat the fruits first, then follow up with anything heavier, like a salad or a heavier vegan dish. Is that about right, Ray?
Yeah, I just for me, I just separate them because they're different flavors for me. So I do the fruit all by itself in the morning. That's sort of my energy drink, as it were. I get that. I use it as snacks, you know, that kind of thing. But then when I go to a meal, like luncheon, lunch is my main meal. That's when I do all my veggies, and then I don't have to worry about, you know, what type of veggie am I having. I just load them up, and then I can enjoy that. So for me, it's like two separate categories, and that's helped me cleanse with the fruit and then nutrition with the greens and everything else. So that's my
approach. Can't argue with that. That's a great way to think of it.
That works for me. And then if I want a snack during the day separate, if I'm famished, and, you know, dinner, if I even have it, is an hour away, I'll just have an apple. I buy apples by the bags here, so I'll just have an apple, and that tides me over if I need that. So I just separate them because of the taste. So
that's a great way to think of it. Your taste buds are there for a reason. They're communicating information to you that most humans don't think about. And then that keeps it totally simple. You can really mimic an animal in the wild by not combining, just overly combining fruits and vegetables.
Yeah.
Keeps it pretty simple that way. So, Ray, it looks like we're down to the end here.
I'm just
looking at an article we might want to talk a little bit about next week. Japanese scientist creates edible meat alternative made from recycled human waste.
Okay,
nice.
On that happy note.
You think there's not a spiritual reason for that? So we'll get into that next week.
Thanks a lot, Ruth Ann. Thanks, Jeff. Have a good day.
Thank you, guys. See you next week.
Bye-bye. Okay, bye. Bye.